like it's the kind of culmination of what God's doing in our life. And the resurrection is why we celebrate. There's no other reason we are here this morning other than the resurrection of Jesus Christ and coming out of that empty tomb and showing up to the disciples. And then after, of course, we're saying, go, we go tell the rest of the world that here we are. We are products of that. So that is why we celebrate. And this is the reason why we can experience joy and abundant life. And we'll kind of unpack this a little bit here for you this morning. All right, here we go. Now, one thing to point out here, and this is key to all of this, is ultimately what does the resurrection do for us? Gives us life. What? Peace? I'm fishing for something. Salvation. Freedom from sin. It doesn't, all those things, all the above, but this idea, this freedom of sin that we have as we accept that free gift of life. He died for our sins on the cross, and it gives us that freedom from sin. And so ultimately, knowing that, we can celebrate because we're free in Him. And by the way, we're not, see how Pastor Matt wraps it up this morning, we'll see where that goes. But if it's like, what does that mean? Freedom from sin. Let us talk to you about that afterwards if you like. We'd love to talk to you more about that. But we really want to just focus on joy, celebration, abundance this morning. Now, one thing he highlights from this, his author does a great job in his book, and he talks about joy, how joy makes us strong. And he talks about in Nehemiah 8:10, this is a book in the Old Testament, and essentially saying it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And then also in Galatians 5:22, Foster highlights that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And ultimately, I love this quote here. And he says, joy is the motor, the thing that keeps everything else going. Without joy, celebration to infuse the other disciplines, we will sooner or later abandon them. How many of you, when you're doing something tedious, you know, what do to kind of help that out sometimes? What's that? Take a break, right? You're not helping me, Alex. All right. You're not helping me, right? We do something that what? Maybe, you know, it's the whistle while you work, right? Is that the seven words? Am I thinking that correctly? You know, something that brings us joy in doing it. That's really how, and this is what he's saying here. This is the motor that keeps us going and living out this Christian life, because we know that not everything is what? Joyful. We know that. We're not under any illusion. So this isn't a false sense of joy or celebrate. You know, we're just trying to drum some feeling out. This is not what we're talking about this morning. But a genuine, true joy from God's heart to ours that He is giving us. All right. I love that quote. So moving on to, so what is this path before? What does that look like? What does this resurrection life that God offers us, what does this look like? And here's a few things. Foster talks about in terms of path to joy. He talks about obedience, faithfulness, act of the will are some that he mentions from this chapter, which I think are incredibly important. But the first thing first here, and this, I think this says it all, this first passage here, and this is from Hebrews 12:2, and it says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. His joy, Jesus' joy, was directly related to his obedience to his call. His joy was set before him was what? It was you, it was me, it was all those who had come to know him, the whole world. We know that his heart, his desire was to see the whole world come to him. of the will. Are you following me this morning? There's some things that we got to put our mind, we have to purposefully and intentionally, instead of it's kind of one of those things, it's the half. How many of you are a half cup full person or, you know, a half cup empty person? Any half cup empty? And it depends on the day for me. You know, some days I'm a half cup empty guy, the next day I'm a half cup full person, right? But some of these things are what? They're genuine act of the will. How do we, are we embracing and saying, you know what? What setting our minds on things that are good and that God wants us to what? Think upon and meditate upon. Rather than sometimes the what? Really the vast things in our lives that are difficult, hard, things that we're just having a hard time just facing. And sometimes those overwhelm us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I honestly just get overwhelmed with just day-to-day stuff. And that crowds out the good things in life. It really, really does. And so in some ways, that path to joy, it has to what? Just be a genuine act of our will to say, you know what? I'm going to meditate on these things that are good. I know these other things are there. I'm going to give them to God. But you know what? I'm going to just pursue these true, noble, right, lovely, good. I'm going to pursue those things in my mind. And as you do so, at the end, I really believe that you can begin to see some just genuine change, you know, part of time. All right. Now, with these things in mind, right? So this path to joy is what? Review with me. What was the first thing? Obedience, right? Faithfulness and, yeah, acts of will. Those things, that path, ultimately, hopefully, as Foster's trying to encourage us to let us know, look, it's going to lead you to just a tremendous place of what? Joy and celebration and abundance as we live these things out with our whole hearts. And I love this quote that I found Foster has this actually at the beginning of the chapter on celebration. And he says, the Christian should be an hallelujah from head to foot. And you're like, what is an hallelujah? That's churchy language for just what? Getting excited, right? Being pumped up for your faith. I mean, that's really it. Because knowing what Jesus did on the cross for you, I mean, let this soak in. I don't know if we fully appreciate it. Dying on the cross, you know, we celebrate Good Friday, and we know the stories, and many of us are familiar with the nature of crucifixion, just how horrific it was. He endures the cross, as that verse says, despising its shame, the ugliness, the brutality of it. And we're supposed to be the ones there. We're the ones who are supposed to be there because it's because of our what? Sins. He said, you know what? You can't do it. I'll do it. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to take it on. You can't do it. I'm going to do it for you. God himself came down as a human being and stepped on that cross for you and for me. I don't know if when I was a kid, I've shared these stories in the past. You know, in this time of the year, and you'd watch shows or movies, and, you know, maybe you probably watch The Passion of the Christ, and you'd watch those, and I would just be bawling my eyes out. And with the realization of what he was doing, the reality of what he accomplished on the cross, it's just mind-boggling to me. But here we are. It didn't stay there, did it? No, it landed on this day where God, what? He rose from the dead. Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. He basically conquered death.
As Scripture tells us. And therefore, we have that same what? Resurrection life for us. Hence, Augustine says, and he was in depth of sin in his own life. I don't know if the history is one of the earliest church fathers. If you want to go back and look up some of that. And the recognition that his own sins were forgiven. Augustine points this out. He couldn't believe how wretched of a man, how a horrible person he was. But the fact that Jesus rose again, died from the cross, rose again, this is where he's coming from, right here. We should be in hallelujah from head to foot. We should be cheering, thankful. Every morning we wake up thanking God for what he does. We should be filled with his joy. We should be filled with the abundance of God. And this should permeate our everyday life. And honestly, I can't say it does for me. all days. We're human, right? But this morning, let this be a reminder what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. All right. So some final thoughts before Pastor Matt comes up here. And I really want to highlight this. So resurrection life and abundance. Abundance is not necessarily material. Oh, I suppose it could be, right? Not necessarily psychological, although it could be, right? Maybe it's a different frame of mind. Or it's not this pretend state of joyous existence, as I alluded to earlier. Right, it's the plastic face and the smile and the church people. How are you doing? Good to see you this morning. You know, I mean, who wants that? That's just weird and kind of scary. I mean, seriously, right? I mean, we've been there. Maybe you're that person. I don't know. If you're following what I'm saying here, this is an authenticity, is what I'm trying to point out. The abundance isn't just from pretending or some external things that are happening to us. Oh, this is all good. So I have abundance, right? And abundance might come in some of those things, right? God might bless us, and He does. He's so faithful. But as it says here, but it is a life that has been fully redeemed, and celebrates the resurrection of Jesus and His work in us in every part of our lives. We are celebrating that abundance is the fact that we are free from sin. We are redeemed. We are restored back in right relationship with God. And then daily we are what? Living it out. In joyous celebration, thanking the Lord for what He's done. And God's work is in us in every part of our lives. Are we finished yet? There's a question to you. Yeah. No, we're not finished yet, are we? God's still working in us every day of our lives, but daily we celebrate, daily we have joy, recognize God, we have the abundance of God's hand on our lives. It's amazing. So this leads us up to Pastor Matt. It really begs the question. This is really the seriousness of it. Because of what He's done for us, we should, you know, this joy we've embraced now, with thanking the Lord for the abundance He has in our lives, how shall we live, right? How shall we live?
Man, Jesus, His death, His sacrifice, His love, what should that do in me? He wants me to die to myself. He wants me to die for others. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if He's alive and here right now, how should that affect me? How much power do I have? These are the things you need to think about as you look through scriptures. And the fact that He says He's going to return one day, how are we going to be found when He returns?
So when you think of abundance, what's the word that comes to mind? A lot. Chad kept talking about joy. Do you ever pray for a lot of joy? Who here has prayed for money more than joy? Yeah, well, just being straight. When it comes to abundance of things that we sometimes rely on, I just wrote down a few. Money, material possessions. Who has stuff? No, I have kids out there, or there's kids out there. You have stuff. Kids, if you could have more stuff, what would you want more of? A bike? Kinley, you're not sure? Just stuff? Casey, what would you want more of? Don't know. No one knows. I can think of more stuff I would want. Uh-oh, Aria, what would you want more of? Oh, that's no good at all. I'm kidding, honey. That was fantastic. You raised her right. Good job. So abundance, we focus so much on what we think we need and what we want. But what Chad started talking about is, I mean, who would just want in life just to be happy? And so we get those two confused. We find joy and happiness in what we can get and what we can have. And a lot of that is focused on you, I need to find joy for myself. I need to find happiness, so I'll do this for me. And so we get very, not that we're all a self-centered people, but we can get very self-centered when it comes to abundance and what it is that we think we need. So when you think about Jesus, if he can give us abundant life, how much money does it talk about that Jesus had in the Bible? Was he like loaded? I mean, played the stock market, had the bonds. I mean, Jesus was always talking about money, wasn't he? How many material possessions does it talk about that he had throughout all the New Testament that you've ever read? Just, he had like storage units full of stuff, didn't he? No. But yet, he is full of abundant life. He was full of joy. He had something that we need, but he went about it in a way that sometimes we struggle to go about it. And that's what we want to focus on. Listen to a few of these scriptures. It says, I am the vine. Oops, wrong one. There we go. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. So this is Satan. He wants to tempt you with all the stuff he thinks you need just to pull you off of what he knows that you need. So he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus is speaking, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So through Christ is that abundant joy. Now listen to this. I am the vine. Jesus still speaking. You are the branches. What does the vine do to the branches? Anybody? Feeds it. The branches need nutrition. That food comes from the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, so if we remain in Jesus, listen to this, and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So two things we need to grab a hold of. If Jesus is the vine, he's the food that we need. We need Jesus more than anything. Any amount of money, any amount of fame, any amount of power. And if you're just a normal person, you want to have purpose, you want to be known. You want to know that you're worth something. Sometimes that is one of the biggest anxieties or the biggest depressions is when you enter a stage in life to where you no longer feel like you're worth something. Sometimes that happens through age, sometimes through like a retirement where sometimes your kids move away and you're like you don't have, you know, you can't parent anymore, you can't serve, and it hits us all in different ways. So Jesus has to be that vine. He has to be that source. So he talks about us remaining in him. How do you remain in Jesus? You have to serve him. Think of how many parents do we have out there? You are servants. If you went a day without taking care of your kids, what would happen? Oh. Odors would happen. I mean, people would be starving. Kids would probably be in the cupboards taking care of things. I mean, the house would burn down. Things would not be good. We are, in many ways, we are servants. Those kids rely on you. They rely on us until they got to a certain point. You see, Jesus, we rely on him, but there's no certain point. It has to be constant. So one of the hardest things to do, and yet the best thing you could do for yourself, is to remain in Jesus on a daily basis. And my way of that is it's this. It's the Word of God. I don't read this every day because I'm a pastor. I read this every day because I need it. If I'm going to serve anyone, if I'm going to be good, serve any amount of abundant joy, any amount of abundance, if I can give of my life to someone else, it's got to be fueled by Jesus. I have to remain in the vine. This comes through the Word. This comes through prayer. Comes through a body of believers. That is such a key. So if you hear this great message and maybe you're not a church attender, love for you to become one just because we're a family and we just grow together towards Christ to give you purpose and meaning. But if that's not your thing, you may go away and you think that was pretty cool, but then you don't get into the habit of being in the Word, in the vine, and you're not fed. And this really cool message just kind of flitters away. You have to remain in the vine. And what happens when you remain in the vine is very next. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce fruit. This is where the joy that Pastor Chad talks about, this is what that joy is. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Listen to this. Listen to this abundance. It doesn't say money, material possession, fame. It says this, love, joy. Now think of these things in an abundance. You have more than you need of. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I just gave you a whole lot, but think of those things in an abundance. An abundance of self-control. When a situation doesn't control you because you've remained in the vine, Jesus is alive and well and here, you can take it, oh, wait a second, let's give this some thought here. Let's not think about myself. Let's just not revenge or just speak out or just, you know, this person's hurting. What's going on here? Let's have some patience in the matter. Now let's just show kindness that maybe isn't deserved. Let's allow that love and that kindness and that self-control to bring a peace on this situation where peace never would have happened in the world's terms. Let's allow our love. Can we look at people for a moment the way Jesus looked at us? Do you think when he was on that cross, he's thinking, man, do you guys deserve this because of all you've done? It wasn't about deserving. So when we're in our world and we're just facing people, that can be difficult. Anyone surrounded by difficult people? Is anyone a difficult person? Okay, that's honesty. I appreciate that. But when we are surrounded by this difficulty, and even within ourselves trying to understand us, it is so important to realize that Jesus has such a passion for those people. And it's actually through you that this abundance of joy can come out. Because when we begin to live with love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, when those things are coming out of us, we are producing a joy that can't be stolen. It's an account that can't be drained. But that only happens when you remain in the vine, when you just serve Jesus to the very best of your ability. And there's not a person that can't serve Jesus to the best of their ability. It's possible. So if you're like, I want to be the best friend I can be, the best parent, the best husband, the best wife. Wives, could you use a best husband? vice versa. I want to be the best I can be. God has written this book that shows us how it's done. Just think of all the different things that the Bible says. It's just so amazing. It talks about unconditional love. It talks about grace. It talks about a discipline. It talks about correction when you've gone your way. It talks about accountability. But ultimately, Jesus is saying, we did this for you, and if you remain in us, this is what you can have. This is the kind of abundant joy that you can have. See, when it comes to Easter, we talk about sin a lot because sin is a big thing. It separates us from God. And we have to talk about that. But I don't want to get so hung on sin that you forget about the joy that comes when you're victorious over sin. There is a joy for us that has nothing to do with material possessions. It's about Jesus in here. And now you're living a life that just offers so much to so many because you're in the vine. The grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. He gave us life to free us from sin, or every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You see, when you understand it, that you have the grace of God, so now that salvation is yours. Why do we need salvation? Because there's sin that we need to be saved from. Sin is a separation from God. So Jesus had to die on the cross to that sin to bridge that gap. And because of that, we have the freedom of sin through Jesus Christ. If we say, yes, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, you died for our sins. We have that freedom. And that's when the fruit of the Spirit starts to work. But guess what happens? We switch. Listen to this. Ezekiel 36, this is Old Testament. Israel, we're talking about the Israel that was brought out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. God does all these amazing things to take them to their promised land. And all through the Old Testament, you just see these stubborn-hearted wanting things the way that they want it. These people just kept fighting God. And here he is again. God is giving them yet another chance. He says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. You see, when we live for ourselves, you can be a nice person and have a stony heart. There is a transformation that happens when you begin to live for Jesus. And our focus shifts a lot off of us and onto others because we are Christ-like. You ever heard that? Two words put together, Christ-like, because we're acting like Christ. Jesus is in heaven. Can you imagine being in paradise and coming down to this? By choice? See, he had it. It wasn't about him. He came down for us. And so when we remain in that vine, that abundance of joy, that fruit of the Spirit comes over us. And now we look at people more so than, I just want to get alone and be like, man, I want to show you the love of Jesus Christ. I just want to bless you with what I've been given. There is a change of heart. There's a transformation that happens within you where you go from the old to the new. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a heart tender and responsive. Jesus wants to transform us from the inside out. Because when you're made new in here, when you're remaining in Jesus in the vine, that's when the actions change. Because you're not priorities, what's the word I'm looking for? Perspective. It just changes. And you won't notice that change of perspective unless you remain in the vine, unless you're being fed by Jesus. If our only motive is to avoid sin, we'll miss the beauty of walking in the resurrection, abundant life that Jesus offered. Jesus came to bring us back to life. I'm going to play this song. Actually, I'm not going to try and freak you guys out, but I do want you just to drop the lights down a little bit. Kind of help us not see as well on purpose. I just want you to reflect. Reflect on the words of this song for a moment. Kind of compare your life to these words. And I just want to see how does this song hit you. And I'll come back up as soon as it's over with.
No longer I who live, but Christ in me, for I've been born again, and my heart is free, the hope of heaven before me, the grave behind, hallelujah, you brought me back to life. I won't forget the moment I heard you call my name, out of the grip of darkness into the light of grace, just like Lazarus. Oh, you brought me back to life. And where there was dead religion, and now there is living faith. All of my hope and freedom I found in Jesus' name. Thank you. said, you are mine. Oh, the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, you are mine.
So this is like you're talking, but Christ in me. For I've been born again, my heart is free. The hope of heaven before me, the grave behind. That is through salvation. We have a hope of eternal life with Jesus and not an eternity of hell with Satan. Hallelujah, you've brought me back to life. Not hallelujah. I mean, I need Elise up here screaming it is what I need, because that is like the most joyous. I mean, hallelujah, it's like the greatest thing. It's like I said earlier, if someone, they pull you back up from that cliff when you just saw you're dangling, and they pulled you back up, and they just grip you into their arms, and you're getting it for the first time. This is what life is. But God didn't just call us to salvation. He called us to live the life out of abundant joy. And we do that through the loving of others. And so, yeah, this is Easter, and if anyone that's here is uncomfortable, I'm glad you're here. But I do want to ask, is there anyone that you would say, I'm not living that abundant life? I'm still trying to do it kind of the world's way. I'm looking for happiness and contentment in other areas. But I just want that abundant joy. I want a life that isn't for myself. I want a life that gives to others. I really want Jesus to come into my heart. First John 1:9 says, if you confess with your mouth, excuse me, I'm starting to do Romans. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful to forgive you of those sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Sometimes I talk to so many people, just say, not me, I've done too much. That's just a lie. The Word of God says, it just asks us to confess those sins. So I want to ask you, is there anyone here that you say, I want that abundant life. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I just want to live that. And I do ask for commitment because I think it means something for us to really say, yes, I want this. If that's you and you want that, I just want to pray with you. Would you just stand to your feet, not to embarrass you, but as a family, I want us to know who is entering the family and who gets to be a part of our family. If you're saying, I just want, this isn't a cult. I want the love of Jesus Christ. I want to live that. I want to be in the vine. I want my life to have more meaning. I want to serve Jesus with my life. And you've never done that, or if you need to recommit, would you just stand to your feet? We're just going to pray together. Praise God. Praise God. Let's say this together. Repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, everyone, we can say this together. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. But you died for me. There's nothing I've done that you can't forgive. So come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And live with me forever. Amen.